let me tell you something about Ron Van Dam. He is not afraid to voice a controversial opinion now and then.
If you're eating 4 donuts for breakfast, you're probably eating a dozen donuts for lunch.
Whoa, slow it down, Radio Rebel. Don't burn it out all at once. You wild man. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Hello, nice to meet you. I enjoy skiing, boating, long walks on the beach, a sandwich, sex. Long walks with sex. I think we have a lot in common, don't we? No? Oh. Kind of lied there. I don't really enjoy long walks on the beach. I enjoy short walks on the beach. I enjoy short anything. But long something? No. Too long. I don't. No. Once you get past the short description, that becomes too long. So long walks on the beach, what is that, like 26 miles? I mean, like, what's a long walk on the beach? I don't know if you've noticed it, but the beach looks the same. There's water on one side and sand on the other, and you're walking between the two, and there's nothing really to look at. Perhaps a dead swimmer from a shark bite. Other than that, not much. I never wanted to be a lifeguard. I never wanted to run around in public in my underpants, which is basically what a lifeguard does. If you're drowning, I will save your life in my underpants. Because that's what a bathing suit is. It's underpants. There's nothing between your bathing suit and your testicles if you're a guy. If you're a girl, there's nothing between your bathing suit. You know what I'm talking about. If you're going to save me, put some clothes on. It does make sense that in our society, when someone's drowning, we throw them an inflatable donut. Makes sense to me. Really. I'm not a beach person. I don't like beaches. I don't like beached whales. I'm not a fan of a beached whale. When I see a beached whale, and of course I see many of them in my profession as a radio talk show host, that's so sad. That's so sad. The whale can't do anything. This gigantic, majestic creature lying innocently on a beach, floundering for its life, its gills and its blowhole reaching for life itself. It's very, very sad. And no matter how much you try to push a beached whale back into the ocean, you can't do it. It's like pushing a Chevrolet convertible uphill. You can't do it. What a horrible example that was. What a horrible example. You can use it if you'd like, because I'm not going to use it again. How did you do on your test yesterday, Johnny, in school? How did you do on your test? Do you think you did well?
I don't know. It was like trying to push a Chevrolet convertible up a hill.
Oh, that sounds very hard, Johnny. Where did you hear that expression, pushing a Chevrolet convertible up a hill? What the hell's that? Where'd you hear that?
Van Damme on his talk show.
Damn him! Damn him and his silly, stupid phrases that people repeat aimlessly. I'm sorry. I don't enjoy the beach. I'm very Caucasian. I don't know what that means, but I am. I don't tan. I don't tan. It's not on my color chart. No tanning here. No, I'm not. I don't turn beige. I don't turn rust colored. I just go from white Caucasian to purple. I'm a Teletubby. The sun on a Caucasian man like me, Teletubby, purple one. Yeah, I don't. I'll tell you a funny story, but it's not really funny because I hurt when I had this particular thing happen to me. So it's not really funny at all. But I'll tell it to you because what else am I going to do?
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
Come on, everybody now, sing along. Now I forgot the story. Oh, I went to the beach like 10 years ago. That's it. I went to the beach 10 years ago. And I put sunscreen on my body. Now, I don't just put some sunscreen on. They back up a truck and then they dump it on me. I need like SPF 25,000. I don't know if they make it that high, but I'm still looking. SPF 100, a mere drop in the bucket for me. So I lather this stuff all over my body. And what a chick magnet I become. Hey, look at that guy over there, sitting in white lather. Ugh. Can we have sex with him? I don't think so. I wouldn't touch him. I'm totally full of cream. But I have to be protected from the sun, that evil sun, that can turn me different colors, like a purple Teletubby. So it's a hot day. I'm on the beach in Hyannis, Massachusetts. Check your Google map. It's like over there. And it's a beautiful beach with people all around. And it's hot outside. It's like 95, let's say, for the purposes of this story. So I walk over to the water, which is there's a lot of it coming off the ocean onto the beach. And I'm sitting there, I get a beach chair, and I'm sitting there, and I'm lathered up, all my skin is covered. And I dip my little feet in the water, and I'm sitting there in a beach chair with my feet in the water up to about my ankles. And of course, the tide's coming in, sometimes I'll go up to my half my leg, and then back down to my ankles again. And I'm sitting there, for about, I'd say, no more than 10 minutes. I'd say about 10 minutes. I would say that. I'd say about 10 minutes. Would you say that, Ron? I would say it. That's how sure I am it was 10 minutes. I would actually say it. It was 10 minutes. Wow, you're so resolute in your timing of things. You must make a mean hard-boiled egg. I'd say I do. So anyway, I'm saying it's 10 minutes, and I grab my beach chair, and I start walking up to the sand, and my significant other, lovely woman, is sitting there, and she says, "Oh my God, your feet are like beet red." And I looked down at my feet, and they were beet red. I'd say they were beet red. I had spent too much time in the water with my feet. And I said to her, I said, "My feet were submerged in the water." And she says, "No, that doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, it magnifies the sun's rays onto your feet." "But my feet were in the cold water. It doesn't matter if it's cold or not." Well, the next day I woke up from my sleep, and I got out of bed, and I put my feet on the ground, and I was in great pain, and I looked down at my feet. Ladies and gentlemen, I exaggerate not much here. My feet were purple. I thought for a second I was wearing purple socks. My feet overnight had gone from red to a lovely shade of blue and then to purple. They were swollen like the Dickens. I don't know what that means. Dickens was an author. He wrote some classic novels that most children read in school. But for some reason, we use his name, Dickens. For no reason, it makes no sense. My feet were swollen like the Dickens. Like the Dickens what? Like the Dickens what? What did Dickens have that was so swollen? Nothing. Dickens wasn't swollen. Where did that phrase come from? What's wrong with us? It's like pushing a Chevrolet convertible up a hill. Anyway, They were purple. It took me approximately a month and a half for my feet to get back to normal color and normal size. That's my funny story.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
When that little thing was recorded, she was in the third grade. Now, she's a doctor at a university. Can you imagine how time passes so quickly? You know, it's very scary when you meet somebody's young child. "Ron, this is my daughter, Stephanie. She's 3 years old." "Oh, she's so cute. Can she walk?" "Yes, you idiot. Children who are 3 can walk." "I don't know. It's been a while. I didn't know children of 3 could..." "Can she talk yet? Can she form words and sentences?" "Oh my God, she's 3. You don't understand what 3-year-olds can do." "Well, I guess I don't. Can a 3-year-old push a Chevrolet convertible up a hill?" "Well, no. No one can." So, 3. And then you don't see this person for, say 15 years. Which is like a snap of the fingers, kids. You don't understand. It's a snap of the fingers, 15 years. And then all of a sudden you see, "Hey, and here's my daughter, Stephanie. You met her when she was 3 years old." "Oh my God, she has tits." "Well, what did you..." "Yeah, first of all, don't say that about my daughter. And secondly, yeah, she's supposed to." "Oh my God, I'm getting old." That's how we gauge our age. It's not the birthdays. It's not the numbers that are thrown around. It's when you see somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, that's when you make the statement, "Oh my God, I'm getting old." Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a horrible moment in time. Was that a Celine Dion song? A Moment in Time? No. Was it? I don't know. I am.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
My guest today, coming up shortly, not that my guest is short, but coming up shortly, is a relationship expert talking about work families. What is that? We spend a lot of time with our at-home families, you know, like we get home from work and then we have dinner with them and we discuss things for about 10 minutes and then we go to bed. And that's the amount of time we spend with our work families. No, I have that wrong. That's the amount of time we spend with our real families. I need psychological help. That's the amount of time that we spend with our real families. Our work families, we spend over 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's a lot of hours. And then I had a guest on the show like months ago, I think, who is a sleep expert and said, Ron, do you realize you sleep 8 hours a day? There's 24 hours in the day. That's a third of every day you are sleeping, which is a third of your life is wasted. You're sleeping. And I said, oh my God, that's depressing. That's so depressing. I've wasted a whole third of my life. That's like a lot of time. You know, that's not like 10 minutes. That's a third of my life. Oh my God. Are you a sleep expert or are you a depression expert trying to depress me? And of that time, when you're not sleeping, two thirds of your life, for most of your life, you're spending it with your work family, the people whom you work with at an office, at a job, whatever it may be. This is your real family. You're spending more time with them than you are with your real family at home. These are depressing statistics. So today's guest is going to talk about work families. Now, here's the difference between your real family and your work family. No, it's not the sex. I think sometimes there's going on both places. Your family at home, you've kind of chosen, you know, you've chosen those people to live with. Not your original family. You didn't choose them. You got stuck with them. No, this is someone that you marry, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case may be, somebody you live with. That was a chosen thing. Your work family, no choice. That was no choice. You got the job, and all of a sudden, these people are dumped on you, literally dumped on you for most of your life, and you must get along with them continually. It's a very scary concept, but it's true. So we're going to talk to that relationship expert at this moment in time. And let's see where it takes us. But before we do that, hey, I love shopping. How about you?
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, $10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane, frankly. Do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
Hi, Rachel. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. We're talking to Rachel Diotto, and she is a relationship expert, coach, television host, motivational speaker, author, spokeswoman, celebrity chef. She's an auto mechanic. You do a lot of things, Rachel. I made this.
I was like, wait, yeah, not a celebrity chef.
No. The last stuff I made up. Okay. You were connected to Married at First Sight, I understand.
I was, yeah.
Yeah, that's it's quite a show. You really have to be a relationship expert to understand that. All right, let's talk about. Yes, go on.
Oh no, I was just going to say it was definitely an experience.
Yes,
and
I'm sure.
It's interesting because we were talking about work families today, and some of my favorite people and favorite work families are from that show.
Oh, so cool!
All good things.
What's the definition of a work family?
So work family are the people that you're close to at work. So we end up spending so much of our time in the office or on our jobs. And when you have people that you're connected with on a personal level and get along with and have friendships and real relationships with, it's really what makes your life more positive and happy. And honestly, I think it makes people more successful because they build more relationships and bigger networks.
Well, also, it's if you have a good relationship at your work with the people, then you look forward to going to work, and that makes all the difference in the world. If you hate your job and it's like 9 to 5, oh, it's Monday, it's Tuesday, that's a lousy life. But if you say, oh, I'm going to be with my friends for the day and we're going to get some stuff done, that's very cool. Okay.
Yeah. I always say people don't leave jobs, they leave cultures.
Yeah.
And people get very frustrated with, you know, toxic cultures. And I think if you can create a work family and people that you actually enjoy spending time with, you're a lot more happy in every area of your life. And it's interesting because Comfort Hotels did a survey and they found that 60% would even sacrifice a pay raise to work with a colleague they liked. That's how important having people that you like around you is.
Yeah. On the flip side, if you get some people that are out to get you and you can't stand, that can make your life lousy too. So yeah, it's a relationship thing that's good and bad. But when it's good, it's really good. Actually, you kind of spend more time at work than you do with your actual family at home during the week, which is a scary thought.
You do. Well, and one statistic that I just read is that you spend a third of your life at work.
Oh.
So if you're miserable and you don't have good relationships there, I consider that a little problematic for your overall happiness.
Yeah, I would say that's something to be concerned about. There's a contest going on, I understand. Tell me about this.
There is. So Comfort Hotels has launched the Comfort Hotels Ultimate Family Work Trip. And it's all about the fact that they are giving away an entire hotel to your work family.
What?
So not forever. You get it for a weekend.
Oh, okay.
And you get to go and fill the hotel with your work family, but you also can invite your personal family, and you can invite your prior work families, and you literally take over the hotel for the weekend. And they've had a complete revamping where they have new lobbies and rooms and logos that really make it really appealing and perfect for business travels plus their personal family.
Wow, there's some wild parties going to go on there.
they're going to have a good time.
So what do I do? First of all, I'd be a little bit nervous sometimes about mixing my work family with my home family. Is that a natural reaction?
Well, we could dive into that a little bit.
Uh-oh. Sounds like I need therapy. Sounds like I need some extra help. Okay.
I was like, which ones do you think would be inappropriate? We have different personas.
Yeah, we do.
We have different personas at work and at home.
Yeah.
So, but I also think, though, when you can incorporate your personal life with your your personal and your corporate or your business life together, and it's, you know, copacetic, then it just makes everything even better.
Sure.
Sometimes, you know, what you're worried about may actually end up being awesome to have that combination.
That's true.
I think mixing, throw them all together. Why don't you throw them into a hotel for the weekend? That would be fun.
Ah. Well, then I should do the contest. Now, all right, so what am I, how do I win this? What do I do?
All you have to do is go to comfortworkfamilies.com, and there's information about the contest there, as well as how to enter and tell us why your work family should take over a hotel for the weekend.
Sounds pretty good. You know, it's interesting because I've always said that you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends. Therefore, friends are, like, really special because you made this relationship by choice. Work friends are not by choice either. So the term family is very accurate as far as I'm concerned, because I wouldn't say these are people you were stuck with, but these are people that have to be infiltrated into your life by nature of the fact you didn't choose them. So that's kind of interesting.
That is true. I mean, you aren't having complete control over your work family, but I do see a lot of times where we'll gravitate towards people that we get along with within your job. And there was actually a statistic in the Comfort study that said that 90% found their job more fulfilling even if they had one close colleague. So you don't need to love everybody, but if you have one person that you are close with and get along with, it can make your job that much better.
Well, this is interesting stuff. I can understand.
It really is.
Yeah.
I love statistics.
Yeah. Trump doesn't. Okay. All right. That was my fault. I apologize. Okay. So where do I...
No judgment.
So where do I go to... I assume there's a website here.
Yes, comfortworkfamilies.com.
Right,
shoot us a note. Let us know why your work family should take over one of those hotels.
Very cool. Hey, sounds good. I think everybody's going to give this a shot. And
I hope so.
Yeah. How do we follow Rachel there? Or is that appropriate?
It's just Rachel D'Alto everywhere.
Okay. Thank you, Rachel. Good talking to you.
That's weird.
Take care. I got you. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye. That will do it for me today. Can I be any clearer? I will be back again tomorrow with a brand new show, which time I'll be entertaining you with wit and charm. Man, trying to entertain you is like pushing a Chevrolet convertible up a hill. So what are you going to do today? What are you going to do after you listen to this show today? You're going to go on with your life, or have I completely ruined your day? That was not my intent. It was not my intent to do that. I think you should eat after this show. The natural reaction to listening to this show is to eat after it. That was a survey done with 50,000 people in an enclosed environment, and they said, after you listen to the Ron Van Dam show, what is your immediate inclination besides suicide? And they said, well, putting suicide aside, it's to eat. And it's usually something that's decadent, like something I would never eat really. So good luck. Good luck to you. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.